Don't worry, Braden. It's all good, man. Welcome to the show.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. I'm always, like I told you off mic, man. I'm humbled by sometimes people travel quite a bit of distance to come to the show and sit down. And I love it because I think it's better than a Zoom call.
Right.
I think we have a better conversation. Plus, I get to meet you and just shoot the shit and talk shop.
100%.
And then off mic, you were just telling me that you're literally a lot less half than my age. And you just been in construction on your own for a little more than a year.
Yeah.
And then you've been in construction right out of high school.
Yeah, co-op started in grade 11.
Grade 11, so you would have been 17?
17.
17, 1 year?
1 year.
Of co-op?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was shit?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It wasn't good. You didn't like it from day one to last day?
Day one was okay because it's new, right? But, and then you progress.
So day two started to be shit?
Month two.
Oh, month two.
Let's say month two.
And then after that, you would have been, so you would have been 18, and then you were working for somebody.
So I lasted with that company that I did that co-op with for close to a year.
Okay.
I wasn't learning enough, I didn't feel like, and I didn't.
They weren't teaching you enough.
Right. And yeah. I wanted to go up, so I left. I took a pay cut, and I went and worked with a guy named Mike. His company was Grew Construction. I was with him for about a year. He taught me everything I needed to know, convinced me to start a company.
And how old's Mike?
Mike was 32.
And he was what, GC or framer? Or
framer. Yeah.
Framer, okay.
Yeah. And
he saw the goods in you that you should go on your own?
So the plan was I was going to go out on my own and we were going to continue to work together and just sub with each other. I had my company for about a month and unfortunately he fell at work, passed away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that was hard. That sucked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that, man.
No, it's life.
I know, right? So he was just framing away on the site?
Yep. He was setting trusses over the garage, I believe. Don't quote me on that. I wasn't on the job
site. No, you heard about it afterwards, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And he, 2x6 he was balancing on, just gave out on him. Smashed his head pretty good. Yeah.
Sadly, it's part of the industry.
Part of the industry, unfortunately.
Right, it is, right? Yeah. So you would have been 18 at the time? No, 19.
19, yeah.
19 at the time.
Yeah.
How did that put you in life?
Well,
you're in the industry. You're just getting started in the industry.
Yeah.
And you had someone just told you that you should consider this industry.
Yeah, and that was someone I was going to have in my back corner if I had a problem. Because let's face it, we've been doing this for 2 years. I don't know everything.
No, you need to have people around you.
Right. And then that was even more of a struggle. And there was times where I was like, fuck it, I can't do this. But then that also just wanted me to keep going and make it happen.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. We got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about a bunch of stuff. I got questions and stuff. So I just want to let everybody know, Braden Harkness, Sandman Construction. Find him on IG under Sandman_construction. His phone number is 705-333-5881. info@sandcon.ca and his website, www.sandcon.ca. I'm wearing Enrico's hoodie, Bella Italia, micro finishing, everything like that. And he'll do some interesting things. He'll come back on the show. He was very nervous too, the first show. Everybody's, for the most part, nervous about the first show. But then they realize that I'm pretty harmless and I just kind of ask questions and we just kind of roll with it and how it goes and stuff like that. So you're a young kid, 22 now, right?
22.
So you've been on your own for just over a year.
Just over a year.
Sandman.
Yeah.
And how's it been running a business in construction?
It has its ups and downs, and I mean, the biggest obstacle I fear, or not fear, that I have is my age, right? Meeting with a client, a potential new client.
From what perspective? The client looking at you at that age?
They just see a young kid who just wants to swing a hammer. Like,
they don't trust you?
No, not at the start. And it's nice when I get that you really proved me wrong conversation at the end of
that
the
That comes
job.
Up a lot?
Pretty much all the time.
So how you, at what age do you think you're going to get over that hump? 30?
Could be next year. I don't know.
But you're building, you're following online, right?
Right.
So are they not, this is all word of mouth. I guess people are reaching out to you and they're finding out, give them a call, talk to them. 90, he'll do a good
90%
job.
90%
is word of mouth. Yeah. So all of a sudden, you're already getting vouched for. That's what I don't understand. But I guess they still question when they see you and you're so young, right?
Right. And I guess that also has something to do with the whoever is going out of their way to vouch for me. They're not going to say he's a 22-year-old kid, right? So when I show up ready to go, I do get the odd look. 9 times out of 10, I don't get questioned. There's been a few people who are like, you sure you know what you're doing?
Just tell them, it's like, construction years are like dog years.
Right, yeah. And I mean, I absorb info like a sponge, right? Like I picked up pretty fast and just keep on keeping on, I guess.
But you can't really snap at the clients. You can't really take it at face value, right? Because it's just, you know what? Clients in general would do the same thing if you're 30 or 40.
True. Yeah.
They're just testing you and they just want, they're curious about who they want to hire and who they want to let into their house and into their lives who they're going to pay for services, right?
For sure.
So right now, trust me, this age thing is this now. In 30, it's going to be something else. 40 is going to be something else. It's just, there's always going to be something, right? So it's a question of how you navigate that communication, right?
For sure.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't look at it as a negative, man. Just take it as a positive. And I'm like, just bring up Wonder Years or bring up Dr. Doogie Howser or something like that. Like, bring up shit like that or something, right? You're the construction Doogie Howser. I don't know. Do you guys know who that is?
I've never even heard of
it. No, you don't? Wow, shit. Now I'm old. So Doogie Howser was like a teenage medical doctor. Okay. And he was that smart. And everybody would look at him because he was a teenager still. And he was prescribing drugs and doing... It was a show. It was a TV show. Doogie Howser.
Okay.
Neil Patrick Harris or whatever.
I'll have to look into it.
The point is, it was a young person who proved themselves.
Right.
That's okay. All it was, right?
Gotcha.
So, which was cool. Right. So, what do you like about construction?
The pride. Definitely the
pride. The work.
Like, yeah, looking back, you start from a foundation, and in less than a month, there's a whole structure. That's a good feeling. It's always that. And then just, you get to meet new people, you get contacts and stuff like that. Yeah. Ryan.
Perfect. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, we got to do a total shout out because that's how we got connected through was Ryan Buchanan, right?
Right.
And he was on the show, I'm going to guess maybe about a year ago now, and had a great conversation with him talking about the business guy. And what he's a great guy, right?
Hell of a carpenter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great
carpenter.
And then I know that he just recently worked on Greg's show, Greg's job from Generation Construction. And he did some work there for, he was doing, I got invited to go look at his job site because he was like, you got to take a look at this, Manny. It's like a 24 foot span,
okay,
triple 14 inch LVL on two steel posts. One was resting on concrete. One was resting on wood. I was like, who the hell is the engineer on this, man? Wow. But he's the one that Ryan worked on that and helped him out and did that. Right. And Ryan loves that kind of, let's figure out this old school bungalow. Right. And then I'm looking at it, I go, why the hell do we need a 14-inch triple LVL here? I don't understand this, man. But I thought it was overkill.
A lot of it is overkill, but that's the engineer protecting themselves.
100%.
Right?
That's how they always do things.
Yeah.
But we have the right to question.
100%.
Right? We may not have the stamp, but we have the right to question.
For sure, yeah.
How many guys on your crew? Like, who do you work with?
At the moment, I'm just subbing with another framer.
Yep.
Last year, I was running a crew of four at one point. Guys with me.
That's pretty serious, man, for 21.
Yeah.
We're the four guys now.
Sorry?
We're the four guys.
They all went and did their own thing. I actually moved to Alberta a little bit less than 3 months ago. I was supposed to be out there for a year.
What happened?
It wasn't home. So, but because the economy was so bad, I just had to let everyone go. Like, I couldn't keep
that up. Was last year.
Yeah. Like, this was this January 24. I just said, fuck it, I need to do something different.
Nothing was coming in?
Nothing was coming in. Didn't really, again, didn't want to swallow my pride and go work hourly for somebody. So I just choked up, packed the trailer and the dog, and head west.
What kind of dog?
He's a Cane Corso Bull Mastiff mix. And his name
is horse?
Diablo. Half Diablo Blades.
You got a Cane Corso Bull Mastiff mix?
Yeah, he's
how big?
He was supposed to be a big boy, but he was the runt and never got to full size. He 80 pounds, maybe.
He's really small.
Yeah, for his breed, he's small, but
he's
solid.
Very, very small. Wow.
Solid.
What's his name?
Diablo.
Diablo.
Yeah. Diablo Blades.
It makes sense. So, but I bet you he still doesn't look small.
No. In photos, you'd think he's
no,
a big
I mean,
dog.
Like that dog, even at 80 pounds, right, is pretty. You clip the ears?
No,
right?
I mean, I'd love to.
They look adorable with the floppy ears, man.
They do. They also look mean and tough with the clipped ears, but I'm not going to do that to them.
They're adorable even for, like, it's hard to explain, even pitties, right? They're adorable with kids, right? Like, they're very protective with kids, but it's just they have this stigma, and Cane Corsos, and they do that exact same thing, right?
Right.
But they're adorable dogs, man. And a bull mastiff. So then he's a tough-looking, slobbering dog.
Big ass head on him.
Big ass head. I know.
Yeah.
You come to the job site?
He has a few times.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Came. And he's good. He just hangs out. He does his thing. I don't have to tie him up. He's always wandering, looking, smelling. Dog being a dog.
No, it's a dog's life. It's great. So you actually, it was shitty in January, but it's usually shitty in January if you're not prepared in a framing world, right?
Yeah. I mean, and I've never went through, like, as a business owner, I've never gone through what we're going through right now, this recession.
Yeah.
So I didn't really know. Didn't know what I was getting into. Talking with other guys, and even, you know, I talked to four or five other framing crews that I associate with over the years. They were all sitting. I haven't seen foundation in months. So
why are they not going after even just a garage or something like that, or deck? Or why aren't they going to do that?
Just such a competitive industry, I think. We're all hungry, right? But everyone was in the same shoe, I think.
How far was your radius? How far?
Try and stay within an hour of where I'm based out of in Barrie.
That's a good distance, yeah.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I was doing small stuff to get by, but stuff I could take on by myself.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring more guys about, but with the economy, I just could not guarantee full time.
So how does that make you feel? Because I've been saying that on the show several times, where it's like, this is the first time that you guys are going through a rough patch.
Right.
Right? Like, you can't consider the pandemic a rough patch because everything was going up, despite the fact that material costs were always going insanely up and it was crazy, and you were trying to absorb, send that cost over to the client, right?
Right.
Now, the aftermath is the first time that you guys are going through hardships, right?
Right.
And so how does that feel, going through it for the first time, realizing that I got no money coming in this week, right?
Right.
That's a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, that's, as you said, that's a challenge. I don't really know how you feel about it. It sucks. It's not a good feeling.
Just keep knocking. Keep calling. Keep talking.
Post ads. I mean, I even went out and posted ads on Facebook Marketplace. I got banned off Marketplace because you're not allowed to advertise.
But do it in a roundabout, sneaky way.
Yeah. I mean, you have to put framing for sale, or like, and then you can't, no description, right? It's just PM for info.
That's
another challenge too. Who the hell is going to hire a framer off of Marketplace?
So why don't you just walk the neighborhoods?
Start handing out flyers?
Yeah, I don't know, something, right? Listen, I've heard all kinds of stories of guys just knocking on doors, man, offering services. Give me a shot. Give me a chance, right?
Right.
You never know. It might work.
I mean, there's always been, when I first started. And when I first started, I didn't want to take on a big house or anything like that. I just wanted to finish basement. So I printed off these flyers, went around walking, nothing. 1,000 flyers, if not more.
You got to remember, though, man, like, it takes 1,000 sometimes to get one, right?
Oh,
like,
for sure.
There's all the, I've heard so many stories of guys just doing it. It's like, nobody, there's guys that have been knocking on job sites and they're like, give me a shot, give me a shot. And it's like, no, no, no. It's like the amount of times they hear no. Yeah. It just takes one, right?
Yeah, just one.
So you hop into the truck? Drive Alberta, winter?
No, end of winter.
End of winter.
End of winter. I left in April, I think.
Get to Alberta and what?
Started subbing with a guy hourly there. I wanted, because the intent was to be there for a year.
Yeah.
And their code, the code's the same, but there's stuff on the plans and on the code that you don't know, that you just have to know. And theirs is different than ours.
Like?
They want 8-inch roll of Tyvek in between every joint on a sheeted wall.
Inside the joint?
Inside the joint. So it hangs out about 8 inches. So you cut it to a foot, cut a Tyvek roll to a foot, tack it on, sheet, and then just let it go. And they say that's in case they insulate before they do siding.
That doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry, but it doesn't make any sense. It
doesn't make any sense.
Okay. So, but do they not have R on the outside now, on the exterior?
R.
Like, are they putting any insulation whatsoever on the exterior now?
No.
Oh, they're not even doing that. But you know that that's the case here, right?
Right. We have to do the...
We have to do, what is it, an R12?
R12.
They want 2-inch, right?
2-inch. Well, some's different, but mainly it's that OSB... Or the aspenite, foam aspenite, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, and they're not doing that in Alberta?
No, there's even some here that we're not doing.
It's
that.
Colder there than I it know, is here.
Right?
That's stupid. I got to speak to a few guys that I know out there.
Mind you, I wasn't there long enough to give you 100%.
Yeah, no, I want to look into it if I want to find out about that. Right? Yeah. But you know that I think they're trying to implement the national code across Canada
now. They are, that's changing.
That's the next step, which is a good or bad thing, I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to change a whole lot for us. I mean, Ryan and I were actually talking about this too, because we were doing a project, and it was the GC who brought it up, and they were just saying it's not going to change much for Ontario. Because that's what they're trying to do, right?
Because they're already pushing a bunch of ridiculous shit here.
Right.
The problem is that they're pushing a lot of ridiculous shit in BC. And when I say ridiculous shit, I mean like no gas to dwellings anymore. It's all electric. And then they want more insulation on the exterior. Are they going to get into seismic shit here? Probably not, because we don't have that as a base in our land or whatever. But I can see them bringing up a lot of insulation bullshit arguments.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know. I got to see how it goes, but.
Yeah, I mean.
Three-way the world. These little puppies. I'm speaking from experience. I've actually installed these, and I love these. Three-way prefabricated inside drywall corner. The first one-piece solution for perfect, crisp corners every time. With three-way, you'll improve your quality, save on labor, and cut down on time. Traditional methods require three tapes, lots of sanding, and high skill. But with three-way corners, they install in just a fraction of the time with fewer steps. It is adjustable for any angle, reinforced to cover gaps, and designed to blend seamlessly into the corner. Say goodbye to pesky touch-ups and hello to flawless finishes. Try three-way today and revolutionize your drywall game. Perfect corners every time. To purchase or check out some how-to videos to see the installs in action, visit threeway.ca or connect with them at 306-514-3768 or drop them an email at threewaytheworld@gmail.com. Connect with me, TCL, and stop by the studio and get a free pack on us for anyone to try. And trust me, I'm telling you, you'll love it. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Don't really know until we know.
But the sad thing is that all the government is doing is making your career option more difficult, because you're not going to absorb this cost. You have to pass this cost on to the homeowner,
right,
which is just going to upset them and then decide, well, we'll hold off on the rental now. Right. We won't do it this year. So now we just lost another job.
Right.
That's the unfortunate thing.
That's where it comes down to. And then again, when you get into like a subdivision building and you're just pumping out houses, the square foot rate doesn't change, but the work does. Who's paying for that? Who pays for that?
And the amount of murders that are getting away with on subdivision, where they have backdoor deals going on. Just inspect this one house. That's not, don't worry, the rest of them are all fine.
Yeah.
And they'll cut corners where they can, right? That's the industry that we're in, right? Which is kind of shoddy. Yeah. And you don't want to do that kind of work. So you want to get into mostly custom.
Yeah, that's what I try. And it's nice too. I mean, you're building in the sticks. If it's the wintertime, all the scrap, light a fire. It's nice.
Why don't you find out? I had this conversation recently with somebody where there's been a lot of, like, I'm Portuguese, right? So it's just like you get a lot of Portuguese DMing going on in groups and all this other shit going on Instagram and stuff. And everyone's talking about leaving Canada and working abroad and all this other shit. And they're like, hey, we can go to Europe, we can go to Portugal, we can go to the islands, we can do all this other stuff. But I'm like, what do you do for a living? What do you do for work? Because there isn't the same kind of work there as there is here.
Right.
So I just said, you're going to have to network and do your sales here and find clients that are going to want to move there, so then you can actually have the project in place. So you could kind of do the same thing where if you network city people, okay, that want to go north, right, and then you offer your skills that way, right?
Right. Track them to the cottage country. I hear you.
It's really, I always tell, like, put yourself in where your clients are going to be. Whether that's a Facebook group, whether that's community centers, that's soccer clubs, put yourself there. Get yourself noticed there.
Right.
And then they'll see you, and then all of a sudden, it's on the back burner. They want to build something. They want to do something. They want to hire someone reliable.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, your name comes up, right? That's a catchy logo. That's a catchy name. People will remember it, right?
Right.
So then it will stick in people's heads, right?
Right. And when I created the company, that's what I was going for, because 9 times out of 10, it's last name construction. Last name contracting. I wanted to be different. So that's what I come up
with. No, that's why I was complimenting it. I was like, yeah, it's solid. It works, right? It'll get noticed. So if you, like, you look at that, it's not, I'm not saying that it's a one man shop, but the thing is, it's business. So it's a group. That's how you look at it. And then people will give you a shot.
Right.
Whether you show up and they think you're 22 years old, then you got a portfolio to show them.
Right.
This is what I've done.
Right. And social media helps with that too, right? Instagram, construction, like, accounts and stuff. And Facebook, all that. You build your portfolio. Not that you're trying to brag, you're just trying to advertise, essentially.
How is the social media community these days, right? Because I don't pay attention too much. I'm more about uploading my shows and my clips and things like that. But right, is everybody being helpful? Is everybody being willing to, like, I'll give you a lending hand, I'll give you to try it or whatever?
Not so much on social media. I mean, it's also, I don't know how to say this, I sound like a dick. It also has to come down with like generation, right? The people right now who have the money to build aren't scrolling on Instagram all day.
Of course not.
Right? So that's also a barrier sometimes. So is it even worth it? I don't know. I haven't got any leads off of Instagram or anything like that
yet. How much time you spend on LinkedIn?
Sorry?
LinkedIn. How much time you spend on LinkedIn?
I've never even heard of that. Fucking kids.
Sorry, I just looked that way. No, no, not fucking kids. You guys have opportunities that we never had, right? So it's just, and sorry, yeah, we have a spectator. That's why I was looking that way, if anybody's watching. Get on LinkedIn, man.
LinkedIn?
LinkedIn.
Okay, I'll have to look into
That's it. Where your clients are, man.
Yeah?
I'm telling you that right now.
Okay.
Come up with a plan. Go to ChatGPT and ask for a plan to promote your framing construction business called Sandman on LinkedIn. Okay. And see what it spits out.
That's that AI generated app, yeah. Okay.
You know about that, right? I'm just saying there's opportunities out there, man. For so you sure. never know. And you're going to get discouraged. Trust me, man. We all been through it.
Yeah, for sure.
All those old guys, we've been through it. If you've been in this game long enough, you're going to go through more of it. And if you think now as being a young trade, you think this is the hardest you're going to go through? Fuck that. There's going to be far more, man.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be far more.
For sure. I mean, the saying is if you're in hell, keep going, right? Why stop at hell?
It's going to be like that. So it's like if you want to stick with this industry, stick with this career, this passion, this interest, you want to build something, you want to, I'm assuming that you probably want to rehire those guys. You want to have crew, if not two crews eventually, right?
For sure.
It's like, do you follow Barbosa? No. Carpentry? He's a framer here in the local, this area, right? I met him at the start, almost the same time. Like he was just getting started out. He was just getting his word out there, and he was just getting started 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
Got three crews going on.
Is that right? I mean, that's the end goal.
You got to work at it, though.
Oh, for sure.
You got to just keep pushing at it, right?
Sure, yeah.
But, I mean, Ryan's still busy, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's still busy. He actually reached out to me the other day and asked what I was up to. I just said, I'm doing a house, sorry. I'm not sure. I don't know. He may have been just trying to start a conversation, but I think he was looking for a hand. He's still posting like hiring and all this, so I think he's busy. He's good.
So why not partner with him? He's mostly down here, though. He's up there.
Well, yeah, so he does do some work in most, from what I understand, he does a lot of work in Barrie, but he's also in the city quite a bit. And he's more into the old renos and digging into stuff.
He doesn't want to do new anymore, from my understanding.
Exactly. That's kind of where, I mean, it's good for him. He said it himself. It takes a skilled person to tear something out that someone else did 20, 40 years ago and redo it.
He's one step away from being an engineer.
Yeah, he's killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just not for me right now. I don't know. I like to nice, clean material. I want to snap the bands off the lumber.
It's a good feeling.
Not dealing with insulation, drywall dust, and shit like that.
Discovering what the last idiot did, and now you have to fix everything and sister this and do that. And
right.
I know. I get it.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. Great guy, though. I'd partner with him if the opportunity was there.
So what thoughts have you got going on then these days? Are you on a project right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you doing right now?
So right now we're in a subdivision.
Okay.
Just pumping out subdivision houses, cookie cutters, they call them.
How many square?
They range from 16 to 25.
Okay.
Something like that.
How long is it taking you guys to frame it?
Well, we've been having quite a bit of delays with material, but normally we can... Lack of, yeah. And just bad organization. Like, sorry, not lack of material, like no material on site.
Oh, deliver. Okay.
But the organization on the builder, I don't know. It's just not there. So
there's two things going on there.
Yeah.
They're doing it on purpose or they're not. They're doing it on purpose to slow the payment process. That's another fancy trick that's being done sometimes these days.
Could be. I'm not sure. There's probably 20 crews on this site.
It's a lot of payroll.
Yeah.
You get paid when?
Well, typically it's first and last, but they do every 2 weeks. I'm not sure if you ever heard of Kingsview.
Kingsview. Sounds familiar.
Kingsview Carpentry.
Okay.
So his name's Adam, and I believe it's his brother and his dad.
Okay.
And all they do is they just sub out crew after crew after crew. So they take care of the builder. They work with the builder. Adam takes care of all the framing.
Yeah. They figured out there's more money in that than there is an actual swing in the hammer.
And that's nice because they'll pay every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've been good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the most part, I guess.
No, no, it's just part of the business, right? You just need to understand that. What I would say to you is don't ever let that outstanding money get too high. That's all. Don't let like 2 weeks turn into 4 weeks, 4 weeks turn into 8 weeks.
Oh, 100%.
Don't let that ever happen, right?
No, and when I'm dealing with one-on-one clients, I'll put it in a pay structure. You know, at the end of the day, like not 50% up front, let's say 30%. I'll work that day, no problem, because you need to see what I'm capable of.
Of course.
But if you don't pay me that night something, I'm not coming back tomorrow. And then, so we'll do that. I'll get one in the middle and one at the end. And that end payment is when I drive my last nail in, let's choke up.
What's the percentage of the last payment?
It depends on the price, right? I mean, if it's not a huge, like a deck, for example, I'll do it, rate it. I'll do a little 30% up front, the remainder balance at the end. No? Why is that?
Keep your last payment as small as possible, like less than 10% or something like that.
Yeah.
Because if you get screwed over, it doesn't hurt as much, right?
Right.
Because if you get screwed over at 2/3 of the amount, you instead of 30%, you get remaining 70% is less, and they want to screw you over. They're screwing you over at 70%.
True. No,
so if you get another 30, and then you do another 30, and then you leave the 10, and they want to screw you, they screw you at the 10.
Right. And that is one thing that I'm still learning as a business owner, because swinging a hammer and running a company, two different things.
It's hard.
It's two jobs, essentially.
So where do you get in the business sense from?
I'm just kind of picking it up as I go.
As it goes, right? I pick Brian's brain, you pick anybody else's brain that's you kind of come across?
Well, yeah, and then I have mentors and stuff and did some work for some guys here and there and talking to them, what would they do, how would they tackle this, etc. And then I've just honestly just been winging it.
All I say is to the younger generation, wing it in small amounts. You are going to have losses.
For sure.
Because I personally know GCs over 40, 50 years of career with seven-figure losses over that period, right?
Right.
That's a retirement package.
For sure.
You never want to get to that point, right?
No.
And it's no different. I know lots of framers that have been screwed over, but most of the time they get screwed over on the last payment.
Right.
Right? And then they walk away, and legal recourse is not always the best option. I don't care how, that's where you got to get the ego out of the way, right, and you got to deal with common sense at that point.
Right.
Because you'll end up spending a lot more money on legal than ever what you're going to get back.
Right. Fortunately, I haven't had to be put that situation yet.
It might come one day, I'm just saying. Yeah, but all I'm saying is like avoid that situation at all expense.
Right.
It's not where I don't care what any lawyer will ever tell you. It's in their best interest that you move forward with legal.
Right.
It's not in your best interest ever.
Right.
Right. So hopefully you never do. Trust me. Hopefully you never do.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm just saying you are going to come across some shady apples. And then all of a sudden, they're not going to want to fucking pay you for whatever reason, right?
Right.
Whether they're Peter Paul jobbing, so they got the money from the last job, they already took all that money and they went on vacation or whatever, now they got to still pay you. They're waiting for the first payment on the next job.
Right.
And that's when they're going to pay you.
Right.
Right. You don't want to get into it. Just if you're upfront, be honest, be straightforward, deliver the quality that you want to deliver, do that.
Yeah.
But the moment the money train stops, you put the brakes on as well too.
For sure. That's why it's nice dealing one-on-one with a homeowner doing a custom, because like you are, you know, the train.
Yeah.
But when you're working for a GC, like you say, you're paid when they're paid.
But not necessarily, because they can get paid and then they mismanage their funds.
Right.
And they're Peter and Paul. That's what I mean, is they're taking the money from the next job, right?
For sure.
And then you got to wait until they start that job, right?
Right.
So, I mean, there's lots of ups and downs. I'm not saying that it's all bullshit.
No, for sure.
It's a small percentage of the industry that creates this big bubble about how bad this is. But I've seen very successful people. I've seen very hardworking tradespeople working in some of the most difficult trades, making some high six figures. You know what I mean? Being right. In their early 30s, already owning two properties, renting one out and living in the other. You know what I mean? With like maybe about less than 5 years already paying off their mortgage on that first primary residence.
Right.
Like that's truth. That's exactly what's possible there, right?
Right.
So it's just, you have to be smart about how you set it all up. Yeah. And you just don't take any shit. Just be honest and be a man of your word or a woman of your word and then just deliver. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, once the money train stops, the work stops.
Right.
Don't be afraid to do that. Because in the end, it's never personal. They're not fucking you over because they don't like you personally. They're fucking you over because they haven't run their business properly.
Right.
So your decision and your reaction has to be 100% business.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Right.
Just keep it as professional as possible. Swallow your pride.
Get rid of the ego and swallow your pride.
Yeah.
don't ever, like, ask yourself, ego's got nothing to do with this. Pride's got nothing to do with this. How do I handle this situation? Mm-hmm. And you'll go revert back to business. Everything business.
Right.
You ain't going to be thinking about physically hurting this person or doing something negative to this person. You're going to be talking about what are the solutions here to come to a resolution. Simple as that.
Right.
Right. So if it's business, then figure out how do you handle a business situation. Someone owes you money for services that you provided. So how do you get the money now? And just come up with those solutions, right?
Wing it. No.
You can't wing it, because if you wing it, you're going to leave it up to, they're going to take advantage of you.
For sure. Yeah.
Introducing Alt Labor Solutions, the game changer for contractors and laborers. Are you a contractor needing skilled labor, or have labor in need of quick shifts? Or how about buying, selling, or renting tools, material, and equipment? Connect easily with contractors and find resources hassle-free through Alt Labor Solutions online platform. Post job listings with project details, browse public resumes, and choose the right person for the job. Explore their job board for new opportunities and connect with top talent. Alt Labor Solutions revolutionizes the labor industry with a user-friendly interface, secure payments, and a supportive team. Visit them at altlaborsolutions.com and start connecting with other contractors today. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. How was Diablo?
Diablo's 2.
He's a fucking pup.
Yeah, he's just a baby. He's still got that little six-month-old pup in him.
Just he's going to have that easily for a few more years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man, how much food do you go through?
He's about a bag every 2 weeks.
That's not too bad.
Let's say 40-pound bag, yeah. But I'm pretty picky with what goes into him. I only buy, it's a freeze-dried raw kibble.
When I had mine, because I lost mine 5 years ago, I had two of them. I had a female black lab and a male Weimaraner.
Right.
Great dog with a big floppy ears.
Okay.
And they, you know, 15 and 15 and a half each, which is a little bit more than their life expectancy.
Okay.
And yeah, like I stopped giving them really bad food, and then I started getting them on the raw stuff, and I saw a huge difference between them. And yeah. I honestly believe that's why they lasted so long, is because of that, right?
Right.
Unfortunately, pets are designed to be expired, so then you can buy another one. I didn't buy another one, right? I didn't get another one, so I left it at that. But
right.
I've always been envious of canes and bull mastiffs. I just love those faces, right?
Mm-hmm. The big, goofy,
yeah,
mean, goofy dog.
I'm not a little purse dog kind of guy. Like, I'm, no. I don't understand that. That's a cat. That's all it is, right, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's an excuse of a dog.
I want to ask you, like, was Mike married?
Yep.
Kids?
Yep.
Fuck's sakes.
Two-year-old.
Fuck's sakes.
Yeah. Poor little bastard. Poor wife. Poor family. Like, it's just shit. Like, and bad things happen to good people all the time. It sucks. I lost my dad.
How old was your dad?
49 when he went.
How?
Brain cancer. Yeah. Terrible. That's another reason why it just pushes me to keep going.
Was it a discovered and then he was gone really quickly? Or?
No, so they gave him, I think his prognosis was 4 years. He put up an 8-year fight. I could be wrong with my numbers.
He was, how old was he?
When he was diagnosed?
No, he was when he passed.
About 49.
So he was diagnosed in his early 40s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brain tumor, cracked him open, pulled his tumor out. He was out stacking wood within a week.
Wow.
Tough fucking guy. Yeah.
What did he do for a living?
He was a subcontractor for Honda, like a Honda plant. And then he had his own little firewood, snow blowing, grass cutting on the side business.
Just hustle.
Just hustle. Never, that guy would refuse to relax.
Your mom's still around?
Yeah.
How old is she?
She, oh fuck. 50, I think, just turned 50. Yeah. She's also in the construction industry. She was an interior designer for the longest time, and now she like designs and blueprints for bathrooms and kitchens and laundry rooms.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not her company, but Devonley Homes is where she's at.
So I did. Oh, she works for them.
Yeah. So I did some work for them too when I started my company.
They're up by you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any siblings?
I got a brother who's also a framer.
Younger or older?
Older.
Older.
Yeah.
How much older?
He's 25.
Okay.
And that's
3 years.
I don't know. Maybe he's 24. I don't know.
Oh, you didn't think it was going to be a test on the show, eh? All these questions about actual numbers and shit.
And the partnering up with him, I've been on him for since.
He doesn't want to do it?
No, he's too comfortable.
Where's he working, though?
So he's working for a framer, and they're all over the place, right? But mainly based out of Collingwood and Orangeville.
And you don't want to get on with them, or they don't have space for you?
These were the guys that I started working with in high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
They don't need you right now?
No, I don't need them.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Yeah. Does he ever give you any advice?
Oh, yeah. He's helped me a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he comes. If I'm struggling, I'll give it to him. He's the first after work. He'll come out until the sun goes down with me. Help me with the roof or whatever, something like that.
Yeah. What's his name?
Evan.
What kind of tools are you working with?
DeWalt.
Okay. Yeah. Worm drive?
Worm drive. I'm a worm drive everything else except for Sidewinder on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
For easier to cut the compound.
You pneumatic or battery? You're pneumatic.
Both.
You're both?
Both.
Depending on the stage of the job?
Yeah, and I mean, it's nice to have a battery-powered gun if you have to run in and back frame or something, yeah, of course, something quick if you're just spending a few hours.
But what pneumatic are you going with? You're not Hitachi.
No. Sometimes Metabo Hitachi, but mainly pass load.
You like that smell?
Of their
coil? Oh, no, they're not pneumatic. They're batteried. Gas.
Yeah, they have a battery that keeps the fan going and then a gas cartridge. I love the smell.
Really?
Can't get enough of it. Jam my nose in the thing. Love it.
Yeah, but how much do you love it in the winter months? Does it still operate okay in the winter months?
Yeah.
It's fine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't noticed any difference yet.
It's not heavy?
It's the lightest one on the market.
Compared to a pneumatic? Hitachi?
Yeah, yeah.
It's lighter than typical battery ones, but is it lighter than... I don't know.
I would put them at the same.
Same boat? Okay.
Maybe a hair heavier, I'm not sure.
You're running a trailer?
Yeah.
How big?
7x16.
You get broken into yet?
Not yet.
Not saying that I'm gonna wishing any of this shit. I'm just saying, I'll give you a little tip. And you didn't hear it from me, and anybody who's listening, you didn't hear it from me. If you ever want to park your trailer and you make sure you don't want anything stolen, just put a sheet of plywood on the floor of the trailer with the nails up. Shoot a bunch of nails up. Because most thieves don't step into trailers that they want to break into with safety footwear.
True.
They step in there with running shoes. So if they're going to break in, you might as well cause a little bit of harm. Not encouraging anybody who's listening to the show to perform that act. I'm just saying I read it in a Dr. Seuss book and it seemed like a good idea. That's all I'm saying, right? I think it's a clever idea. Mm-hmm. Because
my idea is clever too, but it pisses some people off.
You what's that?
Put your DeWalt tools in a Milwaukee pack out. No one's going to take that.
I'd argue that. I think they'll still steal it just for the pack out. And then they'll reuse the pack out, right? They'll throw out the DeWalts and then use the pack
right?
out.
Yeah. That's that.
They'll still steal it.
I know.
The point is, if they're getting into the trailer, which is what? How hard is it? It's a cordless grinder, yeah. And you're cutting the lock and you're getting in there. The point is that you take that first step in there.
It's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And then they'll be pissed and let them take it if they want to take it, but at least there'll be blood everywhere.
You got to work for it.
It's not a bad idea. I'm not encouraging it, but it's just like we got to... And the sad thing, to be very honest, dude, is... It's other fucking trades that are stealing this shit.
I know. That's one of the worst things.
That's the part that I fucking hate the most.
Yeah, we should all be on the same team, right? That's why I know some guys, at the end of the day, they'll throw their ladders and hoses in the basement. Not a chance.
They're going to be gone in the morning. Yeah. There's a good chance they'll be gone in the morning.
Not a chance would I ever do that.
So your livelihood, right?
I won't even leave my trailer on a busy construction site.
You take it with you.
I'll pull it every day. No problem.
But it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, if we're like in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a forest, and it's not very easily seen from the road, sure. But I'm pretty picky with it. Very picky with it.
So you just, as long as you know that that's something that might happen one day, because it happens to a lot of framers,
sure,
right? It's
sure.
A shitty thing about it, but it sucks. And then you come to work, you're all ready to go, you got the momentum, and no tools.
Yeah, you get shafted first thing in the morning, yeah.
A lot of shitty things like that, but... Then there's the beauty of it. Like, you get the frame, you get to take drawings, and then build a structure out of it, sure. Right? It's the best to see drawings, flipping pages, yep. and then see the structure right in front of you, right? And the framing stage especially is the best because that's when the house starts to take shape, right?
For sure.
Foundation is great. It could be perfectly straight. Hopefully it's straight. Hopefully it's level,
right?
And then once you start framing, that's when the house starts to take a shape, right?
Right. Yeah.
Which looks beautiful. So yeah, it's nothing like, it doesn't matter what season it is. It's beautiful to work on a house when you're framing, right?
Yeah, always.
That sound and everything, man. I know the neighbors hate it because that reverb that's going on in the neighborhood, depending on if you're on a cul-de-sac or whatever it is.
Right,
but
right.
Fuck you. I don't care. We're building a house. It's not yours. You want it to be yours? Hire us.
Yeah.
Simple as that, right?
Yeah.
Maybe go out and give them your business card.
There you go.
You want a rear addition or something like that? I don't know.
What's that, sorry?
A rear addition or something like that. So then you can go and do a project for them, your neighbors that are complaining about shit.
Yeah.
You ever looked into modular?
Not really. I know about it, but never really.
It's a funny world because real skilled framers, I don't think, want to touch modular.
No.
And I think they get okay framers to build modular. I'm not knocking it, but I think they get okay framers to build it inside of a warehouse, right?
Right.
And then when they get on site, they expect really skilled framers to assemble these pieces. And then they can't because they were built a certain way. They weren't built the way that you would normally frame, right?
Right.
So there's a disconnect there.
And I don't understand how they, I mean, I get that they're allowed to do it, but every builder, and I mean, it's not like on code or anything, but you want, let's say sheeting a floor, for example, staggered joints are a must.
Yeah.
But when you're building a floor in a 10-foot section and sheeting it, two joints come together.
What's going to happen with that joint in the future?
You know what I mean?
Like especially where it falls on the flooring or whatever.
Right? Like, how is that?
I know.
How is that okay? And 9 times out of 10, you run your foot across it, quarter-inch gap always. Or, like, quarter-inch lip. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they just sand it down.
Fuck it.
No, I just, and I bring it up because I was recently on a modular framed house.
Okay.
And there was fucking issues.
Oh,
and,
for sure.
And I questioned. I was like, dude, this is new frame? He goes, yep.
Yep. And then all it takes, too, is for one wrong measurement to be pulled and nothing fits on the concrete. You don't want that.
I'm just looking at the industry and trying to figure out, okay, so you got people that don't really know the industry figuring out more efficient ways how to build the industry.
Right.
How about we ask the people who are building the industry what they think and how we should do things?
Right.
There's a conversation to be had, no?
I agree.
You never thought to maybe go to trade school?
Not really.
I guess maybe the OYAP experience or something?
Yeah, not really. I mean, all the best carpenters I've ever worked with, not one of them has had a red seal. And I've had a lot of people tell me it doesn't mean a damn thing to them. I think that is more of a union thing.
I'm not disagreeing with you, man.
Right? I mean, it'd be cool. I never got, fresh out of high school, I right to work. So I never got to live that college life, if that makes sense. Thought about it, but I was too hungry. It wasn't for me.
It is for some people, great. If you want it, wonderful. You'll meet great people.
For sure.
But all of that applies to getting on the job site too.
For sure.
Regarding the red seal and being certified, everybody has driver's licenses and we get collisions every single moment of the day.
Exactly.
So having a license or having a certification of some sort doesn't necessarily make you a better person.
Right.
Doesn't make you a worse person.
No.
But I mean, it just doesn't do that. So sometimes you don't need all that stuff.
Right.
Sometimes you actually just need to be on site and build.
That's the only way to learn, my opinion. You're not going to learn it standing in front of or listening to a teacher. They can give you tips. They can explain some stuff, but how far can they get, really?
You know, teacher, yeah, I'm not knocking the teachers. I'm trying to get more teachers on the show so we could talk about it, but I think they have limitations and their hands are tied sometimes.
I'm not knocking them either. Right? I'm just saying it's all hands on. You got to be on site to learn.
I've walked around those schools and I've seen what's going on and I'm like, this ain't the way you teach, man. I'm sorry. I'm not a teacher. I'm sorry, but this is not the way you teach construction.
Right.
Construction, you need to get people on a site.
Right.
And I don't care if it's rainy, I don't care if it's muddy, I don't care if it's snow, you need to get on the site.
Right.
So classrooms are great, but they're not, it's a good precursor, simple as that.
Sure.
You'll get a little taste of that, but that's the morning, then get on the site.
Sure, yeah.
Right? Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at @TeresaGreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. What age do you think you'll start teaching? Because you got a number of years ahead of you that you're going to learn still.
Right, 100%.
But at some point, you're going to start teaching.
The guys I've had working for me never even touched a hammer.
What do you mean?
Before they started with me. Is that what you're asking? Like,
No, I'm not asking that, but what do you mean by that point? They never had a hammer. They never touched a hammer.
Just green. Start from scratch.
Really?
Yep.
And they have the interest to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice too because one of them was my good buddy. And I had that, I don't want to use that as an excuse, but it was like a rebound. Like, that's my friend, so if we don't have work today, he's not going to bitch about it.
Yeah.
Shitty way to look at it.
He sees the struggle.
Right, and he's also, as much as I'm helping him, he's coming to help his buddy, right? And yeah, I taught him everything he knows.
He didn't know any of it before?
No.
And you're picking it up as you go?
And I hate to say it, but he went to school for it.
So where's the disconnect there? He went to, he did the full school?
He didn't do an apprenticeship. The course is called Intro to Carpentry and Renovation Techniques.
Okay.
Something like that, I believe.
Okay.
It's a 2-year program. He did his 2 years. And then.
And he walked out of there and gets on a real job site and he doesn't know what to do yet?
Right. And that's not his fault at all. That way I look at it.
No, I agree with you, man.
Yeah.
Well, no, what I meant by my question was you're still learning.
Right.
And at some point, because you're 22, at some point, that learning is going to turn into teaching.
For sure.
But you're already starting to teaching, right? But it's going to start to be like you're going to get slowly off the tools and then start getting people to replace what you do.
Right.
At some point is what's going to happen.
At some point, that's the
plan. It ain't going to be anytime in the near future, but probably in your early 30s it might happen, right?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Have a few crews running a few houses, drive in, job site, check in.
But then you're also going to have to look at where you're going to find these people.
That's another thing too. Because most of the guys who are worthy of that stuff are either A, running their own company, or they're paid way too well and they're too comfortable to leave.
But there's probably another version of you somewhere that's sure in the same boat as you that you guys can probably partner up and realize that, hang on a sec, we could work together and make a killing here, right?
For sure.
That might be another opportunity as well too.
For sure, yeah. There's tons of opportunity, and there's always going to be unanswered questions, right? So you just kind of keep going.
What don't you like about construction?
Construction itself or my trade?
Both.
Both? Construction itself. I would have to say, like, other trades on the job site that you're on, not that like I'm bashing them or anything, but it's always a fight for like, where can I park? And, oh, I need you to move your truck because I need to get into the house. Stuff like that's annoying.
But that only applies to you when you're back framing, right? When you got to come back and shit's already started on.
Mainly, yeah. I mean, there's shitty parts to the job. I mean, no one likes doing hangers and bridging, but that's just something that has to be done, right? So I can't say I hate it.
Yeah.
It might be one of my least favorite parts of my job, but someone's got to do it.
But the trades just need to get it all along, man. It's like,
yeah, and unfortunately, there is a lot of headbutting that goes around for absolutely nothing, especially on a busy construction site. And it all comes down to parking every time. 9 times out of 10, it's parking.
Because everyone wants to close the spot.
I guess, yeah.
The fuck, just walk.
Right, like,
what's the big deal? Offload your tools, and then just park it and walk it. Yeah. There should always be a clearance anyway to get into the friggin' site. You shouldn't park everybody.
For sure.
Part, yeah. Like, that's different, right? But I don't know, maybe I was lucky. I just got a utopia of everybody was kind of happy. We were all just working together for the objective, right?
Yeah,
we didn't want to try to upset people or screw people over. We were all like, we're all in it together,
right? So, and there is still tons of that,
yeah,
100%. But there's the odd, you know, someone's just woke up in a shit mood and everyone else needs to feel their wrath. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just some arrogant dickheads.
And then what is it about framing then that you don't like?
That I don't like? It's very annoying when the engineer plans don't match the blueprints, for example. Like the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the rendering or something like that. Or
so what do you do in that case?
You got to call up the engineer and figure it out. I did a big custom house in Collingwood. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Collingwood.
I know the area, yeah. Right?
And I basically had to redraw the whole house myself. It was just a nightmare. So it's a big barn dominion and a New York design.
Yeah.
New York designer, New York engineer. And everything, just nothing was making sense. Big open to below, and he had no tall wall spec'd. Huge open to below.
Is this the first time he's doing something here, or is it?
I don't know what it was. And me and the homeowner, like the homeowner, he was a fucking amazing guy. He's in construction as well. He does concrete pumping.
Okay.
Him and I, we were laughing about it, but we're also annoyed about it. And he didn't really know what he was talking about, like coming to framing. So I get on the phone with this engineer and discuss what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. Okay, well, I need a stamp drawing, please. So then we're waiting 2 weeks for that. All for something stupid like a tall wall.
Wow.
Yeah, so I shit you not, had it spec'd. LVL floor, or sorry, TGI floor, about 5.5 inches wide. Like all the way around, put your second floor walls on that. Never seen that in my life.
Explain that. He had TGIs.
Right, so it was
what size TGIs? 11.78?
They were 11.78 TGIs.
Okay.
So let's say it was rough numbers, 4-inch piece, 2 pieces of rim board each side.
Yeah.
So essentially, I feel like he was going for a box beam style.
He made you do every single TGI that way?
That's what he had spec'd. And I said, I'm not fucking doing that. No way.
For what reason?
I have no idea. And then I call him, like, you should be tall walls. Yeah, you're right. They should be. Thank you.
And then he changed it to that?
Changed it all.
And this was a designer or architect?
Architect. Engineer, architect. Yeah. That's a true story. I can't even believe it. Some people I tell that, they're like, no way. True story.
What was his thought process? He was trying to figure out.
I couldn't tell you.
I have no idea.
Could not tell you.
But then you see the drawings and you're like going, this doesn't make any sense. I got to question this, right?
Yeah. I mean, how would that pass? How is that even safe? And mind you, let's say I did do it like that. How the hell are we getting those walls up there?
You're not. You'd have to bring in a crane of some sort.
So we had to get a crane in to lift these walls because it was a rake wall too. 33 feet to the peak. 4,700-pound wall. So we had to bring a crane in for that. But if I just
built, but you do it on a daily base for that. You don't do it for the whole job.
What for what's
the rental?
Yeah, it's just one day.
Yeah, exactly, right? Because it would just kill your budget at that point, for right? Sure. Client would hate you at that after for that sure. If you just had it parked there waiting for bullshit like that.
You just do as much as you can until you run out of room. Call the crane and throw everything in. Same when you're putting the roof on too.
How many square feet was it? How big?
About 3,000, something like that. Just south of 3,000, maybe. I kind of forget.
Yeah. What was the homeowner using it for? Personal. Cars? Huh?
Just personal. Like, he just wanted the old barn-style house.
But he wasn't going to, like, what was he going to do inside of it?
Just huge open to below, big open living space.
Just like a little get-together, like a man kind of cave or whatever, much, something bullshit?
No, but it looked amazing. It had the big loft, lookout, glass railings everywhere. Like
concrete pad?
Concrete pad.
Post and beam on the inside? Or no, it was just frame, traditional
conventional,
frame.
Conventional frame.
Really?
Yeah.
Why didn't you go post and beam? You didn't want to go that rustic?
Maybe. I don't know. Never really thought about that. I do like the look of that style, though. Timber framing? I'd love that.
We're doing that one coming up. I got a project coming up that we're doing for somebody.
Oh, yeah?
And we're just trying to figure out the connection point between... I'm not an engineer, right?
Right.
But I've seen enough drawings to kind of speak up. And the homeowner wants to pour the slab after the posts and beams are installed. And yeah, that's exactly the face that I did when I saw that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need a detail here. Yeah. And then I see the detail and I'm like, okay, it doesn't really answer my question here, right? So the detail, the concrete was poured on the inside of the post and beam, and then the post and beam are sitting on helical piles. And then Mother Nature's on the outside and the concrete is just below the helical piles. So then there's a void there, right?
Right.
So cold's going to transfer. So I'm like, you have to either create a raft slab, which means you drop around the perimeter there, and then you insulate all that shit underneath, and then you create the post and beam on top of that and build from there. But then you're getting the engineer talking about how we need to extend the insulation 4 feet past the perimeter of the concrete slab now. I was like, you don't want to do that either, dude, because that's going to be shit on the outside, right?
Right.
So we're trying to figure out the skirting now, how it's going to, that connection point, right? Because it's not a foundation. It's not even frost foundation. It's just a floating slab.
Right.
And then they're building the post and beam on there, and then we're building conventional in between. So I'm not the engineer, but I mean, I'm being asked this question, right? Then I get the concrete and I get the insulation companies involved. And then I'm trying to get everybody communicating and talking.
Right.
And I'm like, guys, with the person with the stamp, figure this out, please.
Yeah.
And just get back to me.
Yeah.
Why am I being asked these questions? I don't want to be asked these questions because I'm going to suggest things that I've seen on other drawings, but I'm not going to get the credit for it.
Right.
Right, or I'm not being compensated for it to do that as well.
Comes down to that too, right?
So it's, I don't know why the client was just so strict about pouring after the beams. When I was like, I think you got to pour before the beams. The beams are going to rest on the concrete slab through the structural point.
Right.
There's got to be an anchor, mechanical anchor point, right?
Right.
And the client's not understanding what I'm talking about.
Did the client ever like justify why he wanted that?
I think he wanted to just pour it after he was weathered.
Okay.
Right. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. You're in a race to get the post in, the beams in, then you get the roof in, then you can start getting the windows in, and then we can do the concrete after the fact. But I still don't understand this connection point. Like,
right.
You're on grade and you're going to get Mother Nature getting through here, and then that's going to create rot your finishing, right?
Right.
So I'm trying to avoid all that shit. But again, I'm not the engineer.
Right.
So I'm not, it's not my duty to answer your question, right?
Right.
And I'm just comparing it to what I've seen before, how things are done. But that's dealing with an engineer. Like, I love having conversations with the engineers. I want to problem solve. Mm-hmm. I love that shit. I hate the ones that don't want to fucking problem solve anything.
Right.
And there just is the expect odd you one. To figure it out.
There's the odd one that just says it's on the drawings and a stamp. So whatever I drew, draw it.
Did you get billed? Did he send you an invoice?
Not to me, but to the homeowner, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
It's his fault. He's missing information and he's billing the client?
Right.
That's nice, eh?
Yeah. And then even to just jump on a Zoom call, that wasn't free either. We didn't do that, but he wanted money for that. Just anything they can to shaft
it's
you.
Good. It's good to be the engineer or the architect or the interior designer or whatever, right? Because they can pull that shit.
Yeah.
You try to pull that now.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get it.
What else do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
What do you think of construction, man? What's the stigma at your age in construction?
Stigma.
What do you think? Like, what? How do people perceive construction? How do people look at construction these days? Back in my day when I was your age, construction was looked upon as fall, you know, a fallback.
Right.
Like, you have no skills, you're not smart enough, this is bullshit construction, any monkey can do it, you're swinging a fucking, which I've been trying to dispel that forever.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of talented, intelligent individuals, a lot, that have amazing skills that I'm in awe when I look at it. I know enough to carry my own weight, but I would never consider myself a true professional in any trade.
Right.
That's why I was a GC, right? So we were just management and everything like that. But today, as a 22-year-old, is that stigma still there? Is that
that stereotype is definitely
it's still there, right?
It has to be. I mean, people look at it as just a greasy construction worker, unfortunately. And there is the odd one that they understand, like, A, like how physically demanding the job is, and B, that it's not like flipping burgers at McDonald's. Like, you do, most of the time, you get paid for what you put out.
Of course.
Right? So I do think it still is looked upon as a dreadful fallback. But in the same sense, I could call it a 50-50. Some people understand.
How does that make you feel, though?
Honestly, fuck them. Like, if they want to talk like that, that's fine. I just do my thing.
I'm curious, right? Like, when Mike passed, and I know you mentioned that you pushed forward as a result of it.
Right.
Why didn't you not push forward and leave industry and just go find something safer?
When he passed, like me being in that position, that never once crossed my mind.
Like, not once.
The falling aspect? No. I can confidently say that. Not that I'm trying to sound cool or tough or anything.
No.
But that never bothered me. If anything, like, just motivated me. Not that we were, like, best buds or anything, but if I can carry out, keep doing it for him, maybe. I don't know. I just never really looked back. It was hard, don't get me wrong. You have the odd bad day where you're like, fuck it, I'm not coming in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Never coming. New job, right? But no, you just keep doing it. Just keep pushing.
But that's a hard lesson to learn really early on in your career, right?
Sure. Could be, but maybe, I don't know. I mean, it sucks that it happened to him. It's a terrible thing, but there's also other ways to look at it.
Of course.
Right? It's never a positive. That you cannot call that a positive, but you can look at it as something to fuel you, motivate you. So that's, I just try and look at the positives in it.
No, it's a good way. It's very impressive that at your age you're looking at it that way.
You don't have another option, I don't think.
No, but
I refuse to let myself feel otherwise. You know what I mean? Try to, at least.
But there would have been a lot of people your age in your situation probably would have said, I'm out of this industry. I'm not going to be a part of this, right?
Sure.
It's hard for us to look at, like, as a GC, you never want to have an accident on site. You never want to have loss of life on site, right?
Right.
That's not the objective here. But when it does happen, it does change people, right?
For sure.
Like, I don't know all the scenarios and everything like that, but safety is paramount and things happen, but it's still a job site. Stuff can happen.
Right.
And then you can lose life, and it's just devastating at that point, right?
For sure.
So, I mean, the worst for me was someone cutting his leg, right? Like, bad cutting his leg, right? And
ran a skill saw right through it?
No. It was a window guy. Oh. And the tags. You know how a lot of the larger window units are now having those metal flanges, or the they're sticking out. They're
like the exterior.
Yeah, they're flange? Basically knives, right? Like, it's a series of knives around the whole thing. And then he was just in a rush. He was just moving around. He liked to hustle and install really. And then he walked around and just nicked it and just clean cut right to the bone.
Oh.
And I was like, dude. And then we just patched him up and then got him to the hospital. And he was just angry that he got off site. He wanted to get back on site.
Right.
I was like, dude, there's a procedure here, man. Sure. He was back on site the very next day, just working away. Yeah. He got his 20 stitches or whatever it was. And I was like, so everybody was cool. Everybody was fine. Like, we did what we were supposed to do. We were ready for it. But that's the extent of what I've had. Right. So, but there's always a risk there, right?
For sure. I mean, every day there's always a risk too. Like, I've plowed nails into my hands. I don't know how many times. And it always just comes back to being stupid.
Attention aspiring tradespeople and entrepreneurs. Looking to break into the skilled trades or start your own home service business? Meet TradeLinks Consulting, your go-to partner for success. At TradeLinks Consulting, they're passionate about helping you find the right trade, build your business, and mentor the next generation. Whether you're exploring your options or ready to take the plunge, they offer tailored career consulting and startup guidance to get you on the right track. Visit them at www.tradelinkconsulting.ca today and book your personalized strategy session. Your future in the skilled trade starts here. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Like,
one of the first framers that I ever worked with, a Polish guy, Ziggy, used to always have this trick where he would just shoot the nails in the sky and then we'd all go running. Completely illegal. You shouldn't be doing it on site,
like,
right?
Like, what do you call that movie? Where they shoot the arrow?
Yeah, basically. Oh, so we'd be on the first, like, it was kind of a rite of passage when you finished the first floor.
Yeah.
And you got this huge floor now, like, it's 30 feet by 50 feet or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he would just grab it, pull down the safety on it, right? And then we would just be waiting to see who's going to be the last one to run away, right? And then we just run away. And then it never, you know, pierced the wood. You hope for one to pierce the wood, but it would never do that.
Right.
But it was just, it was funny. I mean, if Ministry of Labor saw us doing that, obviously we'd be tagged and, don't do that, right? And
right.
But it was fun.
Like the grown-ups. That's what I was thinking about, grown-ups.
Basically, you right?
Shoot the arrow into
Same thing. We're doing it with nails, right?
Blue-collar style.
I'm sure he's still doing it to this day because that's how he is, right? Which is fine. He's a good guy. He had a funny shirt that he used to wear sometimes where he's got four daughters. Four daughters, no sons, eh? And the shirt said, I've got, you don't scare me. I've got four daughters. to his clients, right? Like, there's nothing you can say to scare me. I got four daughters, man.
Right.
He's the one that got me on Tisky beers, man. We just had a Polish guy in here. That's why.
Okay.
So how do you see yourself, like, when you're at my age, man? 30 years from now, how are you going to see yourself?
I honestly haven't really thought that far ahead. I'm just doing my thing every day. And I'd like to see myself running the, you know, I don't want to say, like, being lazy or anything, but just stay in the truck, job.
It's not lazy. It's running a ship.
Right? That's kind of
what running a business.
I'd like to be there.
Yeah.
Right now, I feel like just still young and healthy. I just want to keep moving, keep grinding.
But you should be planning about that. You should be about it. Give yourself some milestones of what you think you should be doing at 25, 30, 35, so on, right?
It's always been in the back burner, but it's never something that I've actually sat down and really thought about. It will come. I know it's going to come because I know what I want. But I know what I want, but I don't know how I want to get there, if that makes sense.
But that comes with time.
Time, yeah.
You'll figure it out, right?
Right.
And then I'm just waiting for the day that I still enjoy wearing work pants. Okay. I like work wear. I've always liked work wear. I've felt comfortable in work wear, right?
Right.
And I'm waiting for the day that I can actually make a little bit of money that I can, you know, let me treat myself on something. And I want to walk into a very high profile auto dealer with work wear, ideally dirty, and buy something.
Yeah.
I want to see how I get treated. I want to see how I get treated, right?
Right.
Because if they're smart, they're going to realize that blue collar are very successful people, right?
Exactly.
So you shouldn't be treating them because they came in with workwear and they're dirty.
Right.
Right. I've had that before. I walked in and I was treated like shit.
Is that right?
And I walked out and I just left. I didn't give a shit at that point, right?
Yeah.
So I wasn't treated with any care. Like, they didn't care about me, right?
They didn't take you seriously.
I've had that happen in designer showrooms too as well.
Okay.
And I never recommend my clients to that designer showroom ever again because of the way I was treated. I walked in there with workwear,
right,
and I was treated poorly because I wasn't dressed up like designers or architects or suits or with clients or all this other shit, right, but I was treated like shit.
Right.
And I was like, okay, good. I'll never recommend. And this is a high-profile place in Toronto, right? Gingers. I'll never fucking recommend Gingers. There are a bunch of assholes there.
Is that right?
Because of that, right? So,
right.
you're gonna make some enemies in this industry, right? But who gives a fuck, right?
Right.
At that point,
yeah.
You get to my age, you just keep on saying, "Who gives a fuck?" You don't have any feelings to be hurt, man. That's as simple as that. So that's why I keep on saying it's business. It's never personal, man. Mm-hmm. Do the job. Do the job as best you can. Find the right crew. Try to always your objective now is just to find the best plumber, the best electrician, the best roofer. Like, find your circle of construction. That's your job right now. It's not needed by the end of this week or whatever. It's not needed this year. Just keep on finding these people that one day you'll cross paths with.
Right.
They'll come around. They're like, you need a good friend? I got somebody. I'm going to recommend somebody that he's going to do an amazing job. Right. Find your circle of construction and just keep on. Because I've got that.
For sure.
You know what I mean? I've got that in spades.
Sure.
Because of my work and also my show and everything. So it's like I could reach out to so many people and go, listen, I need this, right?
Right.
And I love that. I kind of love that that's been built, right? But you're going to build that too as well. And so at some point, I love seeing trades get the opportunity to build their own house, their own personal house.
Right.
And you're going to be the amazing framer on that house, but you're going to need help from other trades to handle other parts of that house, right?
For sure.
Not the ones that are say, oh, I can do that for you. No, you're going to want to hire the actual roofer, the actual plumber, trim carpentry, all that shit, right?
Right.
And then they'll step up and do it.
For sure. And even on a job site too. Not that you want to take advantage of anybody, but if you kind of like befriend, let's say a plumber, for example, you know, you get him work and get him pawn off his name. And then 2 or 3 years later, hey, I'm building my house. Can you come help me out here?
Or even frame in his favor.
Sure. Yeah.
So we're ready to prepare. Like, you saw the drawings. You know where exactly everything's going. You know where the mechanical room is. You know where the bathrooms are. You know everything, right?
Right. Right.
So if you start framing in his favor, he's going to show up there and go, who the fuck framed this, man? You're watching out for him.
Right.
Right. And now all of a sudden you got a new friend, right?
For sure.
And then he might possibly recommend you for another job and so on, right? That's right. Where it starts going.
That is one of the benefits of construction, too, for sure. Yeah.
How many people you know in construction right now?
Quite a few. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and rhyme
off. But the majority are framers?
Majority, I'd say, are framers, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely a few other trades. I mean, I have friends that are doing other things, plumbing, HVAC, etc. But mainly framing, yeah.
You on a Facebook, like Facebook framing crew or a group or something like that?
Am I in one?
Yeah. Is there one? I don't even know.
Yeah, Framers Nation, pretty big Facebook group.
Framers Nation?
Yeah.
American or Canadian?
It's American.
Really, eh?
But people post from all over the world.
Americans think they build better, right?
Most of it, too. I mean, because it's such a big group, the admins, they take forever to approve a post. So, like, if I put something in, like, questioning, or like, here's a problem I ran into, what would you do?
How long does it take?
Something like that, about a month.
Wow.
And then your phone just starts blowing up. And I'm like, what the fuck? This was a month
ago. How many people in that group? Like, thousands?
Thousands.
Wow.
Thousands. I don't know the exact number, but I'd say over 50.
What other trade interests you?
Welding.
Makes sense. You needed it too. Ziggy, that framer, he welds as well.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. I've always said if I wasn't framing, I'd definitely put a rig in the back of my truck and just mobile weld.
That's exactly what he does.
I'd love to.
Yeah. Because he knows it always comes up, especially today. Lots of builds. Right. They're adding more steel. It's insane.
For sure. Yeah. Everyone needs a tack here or there too. Yeah, I was pretty close to considering it. I broke my back 2 years ago, too, and I just physically couldn't keep up with work.
How'd you break your back?
Into a foiler accident.
You got into a what?
Foiler accident.
Sorry, a boiler?
Four-wheeler, ATV. Oh,
seriously?
Yeah, I launched
it. What, did it flip?
Oh, I launched it off an 18-foot cliff. Yeah.
What's your life insurance premiums like, man?
I don't even have any.
So why were you launching it off a cliff?
No other reason than being drunk and stupid. Not a good way to look at it. But we were just out driving around. And
you broke your back?
Yeah.
Did you got the scars or what?
No, I don't even.
Okay, you didn't sever it that bad.
No. I didn't have to get surgery or anything. I was just out of commission for about 2 months. Went back to work too soon and then just paying for it every day.
You on meds?
No. Fortunately, here we go again. Not that it's fortunate.
When did that happen?
This was two years ago.
What are you driving now?
Like vehicle or ATV?
No, vehicle.
I got a Cummins, a Ram 2500.
Okay.
Cummins,
yeah. But you got an ATV as well?
Used to. I still have one, yeah. Yeah. I rode off a little, it was actually a trike, like a three-wheeler.
Yeah.
The old ones that are illegal.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Rode that thing off. Paid $500 for it, sold it for $500 in pieces.
So what's the purpose? You ride motorcycles?
No.
You going to?
No.
Did you fix the Jeep? The 4x4?
No, just sold it.
It was done?
It wasn't done. It still ran. It had some issues.
But it still ran?
Yeah. At Honda, they know what they're doing.
Wow. You had a lid on, though, at the time. You didn't have a lid on at the time?
No.
You realize you should have had a lid on at the time?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
The whole thing should never have happened.
You were just drunk and stupid.
Yeah.
Was it stupid before drunk or drunk before stupid? Or were they racing at each other?
Yeah, they were just pistoning off of each other.
Did you learn your lesson?
Yep.
Are you going to do it again?
Nope.
Okay, good.
Pretty smart with it.
It's recorded now, right? So if you do it again...
Yeah.
I'll send you that clip.
Yeah, there you go. And then Canada long weekend got into a really bad accident.
There's more.
But here, this is why I'm saying it, is because I was fighting with this back pain
for close
to a year and a bit, really ever since the accident.
Okay.
And I got into a bad car accident and now no back pain. It just snapped me right back into place. I think I had a pinched nerve or something. Don't know what it was, but yeah, fixed me up and now I'm good to go.
How bad was the second accident?
Rolled a truck 7 times.
And it fixed the back?
Somehow.
Wonder what it did. Probably.
I just think I had a pinched nerve or something.
Yeah, so you were probably rolling and the back got expanded or somehow.
Something, yeah. It doesn't make sense, but yeah. True story.
What other pain you got going on?
Nothing.
Nothing pain? Everything's fine now?
Good now.
So you know not to do anything stupid, right?
For sure.
Because then you'll get the pain back.
For sure. Fucking kids.
No, it's not fucking kids. It's just like you got a whole life ahead of yourself, right? Trust me, you're going to get into your 50s. You don't want to be lack of a politically incorrect word, cripple. You know what I'm for saying? Sure. Like, yeah, you don't want to be needing assistance, right? To move around, to get out of a chair, to walk around. You don't want to. Listen, man, nobody looks cool in one of those motorized walkers. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, nobody looks. I don't care how many times you see them at Walmart in America. Like, you, they don't look cool.
No, not at
and
all.
Even the regular bar walkers, they don't look cool. What looks cool is being vibrant and healthy and walking on a job site and managing a job, seeing walls come up from the crew that isn't even born right now that you're going to be managing one day. That's cool.
Yeah.
You follow me?
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
So that's, I mean, have your fun. We have all done stupid shit. I've gone down twice on my bike, right? Wasn't my fault, but I mean, I recovered from it. Simple as that. Yeah. But I've had my share of vehicle accidents as well. I haven't had one in a while. Lucky.
Knock on wood. Yeah.
But because I'm more aware, right? So I just pay attention more. Mm-hmm. But you're also conscious of, fuck, man, you're getting older.
Yeah.
This is not the way you want to go out.
No, it's time to slow down.
Yeah. You ready to do 12 questions?
Fire away.
I sent you them, right?
You did, yeah. Yeah, I kind of looked at them briefly, but just.
Braden, Harkness, Sandman Construction, at Sandman _ Construction, 705-333-5881, info at sandcon.ca, www.sandcon.ca. I'm telling you, get on LinkedIn. Do your homework tonight.
All right, I'll look into it.
I'm telling you. What's your favorite construction word or phrase?
It's not one we live by. It's just fun to say. It's do your best and drive all the rest.
I haven't heard that one. What is your least favorite tool?
Sawzall.
Yeah, every framer says that, man.
It means something bad happens.
Exactly. That's the reason why they say it, man. Do you have a Milwaukee sawzall? So what do you, with DeWalt?
DeWalt.
Then you can't call it a sawzall.
Recip saw.
What do you miss from your childhood?
No payments. Wake up every day, school, come home, dinner was cooked. Go to bed.
Pretty much, eh? The biggest deal was to make it to school.
Yeah.
And be at school, right?
Yeah.
What construction sound do you love?
When the compressor shuts off at 5. No.
Letting the air out?
Sorry?
Letting the air out.
Yeah.
What's your favorite beverage?
Michelob Ultra.
What turns you on and off in construction?
Turns me on and off. I don't know. On would be, again, I touched on it earlier, but just the sense of pride and like, completion, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then off would be just when stuff doesn't go smoothly. Mm-hmm. Really, just pretty simple, yeah.
Favorite curse word?
Tabernacle.
You speak French?
No, just love saying that.
What's your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
Be a truck, probably.
What kind of truck? Old school truck or what?
Yeah, an old square body. Or an old Ford. Second gen Cummins. I'd love one.
Oh, you're going Dodge?
Yeah, I'd love one.
Like, how far back are we talking about?
Second gen is like 95 to 98, I believe.
When they started doing the step hood, no?
The third or was gen? That even,
that's, I don't know. I'm trying to figure
like
out.
Like, you mean like the bubble headlights?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say that's like 99 to early.
Okay, early. I'm trying to figure out the generation.
I mean, I know that the second gen's not a square body, but just beautiful, nice truck when they're done up, all nice.
Black or white?
Black.
What profession would you not like to attempt? Or sorry, what profession would you, other than your own right now, would you like to attempt one day?
Either welding or ICF.
I'm just trying to think of if you'd like ICF. I don't think you're going to like ICF.
No?
I think you want to try it. You want to learn it. You want to understand it, but I don't think you're going to like it.
Right, for sure.
I don't. What profession would you not like to do?
Roofing.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Beers in the fridge.
Anything else you want to share before we wrap it up? Or we covered quite a bit?
Covered quite a bit.
I appreciate you coming on the show.
Appreciate you having me.
Yeah. I'm sure that's a little nerve-wracking to talk about yourself and what the fuck is in store in the future and shit. You're a good kid, man. Stick with it, man. You got the drive for it.
Try to be, yeah.
I just met you. I just been speaking with you, but I meet a lot of good people, right? So right. You're a good kid. Stick with it. Don't fuck around too much. Fuck around. Get hurt.
Yeah.
You're supposed to.
For sure.
You know what I mean? I won't be upset if you got a cast on your arm or something like that, but... But also learn how to run the business, eh? Mm-hmm. And try to absorb whatever you can. Like if you meet people and they got business sense, listen to them, talk to them, ask them questions. Anybody that's good in construction will always fucking answer. They will always fucking reply.
Right.
That's a fact, right? So just stay that course and you'll learn, man. Simple as that.
Perfect.
You'll be onto good things.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
We're out of here.